All right, again, I want to thank Brother Gary Thompson for coming this morning, and he's going to preach for us, and I appreciate his faithfulness. The Lord has used him to serve in many ways, and we thank you, Gary, for you being able to be here this morning with us. So you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart. So.
All right, thank you, Pastor. We'll get this out of the way. All right. Appreciate you mentioning the annual meeting. We do have our annual meeting the second week of June. We move it around the country. Your pastors came up to Minneapolis this past June, and nice hearing that they're planning to come out to South Dakota. Not quite sure where we will be in 2023, we do that so the same pastors don't always get to sleep in their beds during the annual meeting. While other pastors have to put out the expense of traveling and motels and that. So we're always grateful for churches who open their buildings and their people pitch in and do a great job of hosting. I have prayer cards. There are several items of information out on the table if you would stop. And as your pastor said, take a moment, look at the display out there. But we have brochures that tell you about the NTA, and so if you're still not quite sure what it's all about, you're welcome to pick it up. Now, that's for older folks. I see some of your younger people here, and I don't know what you do with brochures. They don't really fit into your phone, and they don't really stick into your computers very well, but you got that figured out, so you'll do what you need to. But there are prayer cards out there, and I appreciate those who will take that, and I also have a special prayer request card that's on these multicolored colored. And I said, guys, if you're not sure what color to pick, look at what your wife is wearing for a color, and then take that one if that helps you to decide. But I pastored full-time up to the last Sunday of 2021, which happened to be December 26th, if you remember back then. And I retired as full-time pastor from Faith Baptist Church up at Baldwin. I did in part because of age. I did in part because in October of 2021, my health really went south. And I dealt with health issues until about June of a couple months ago. And so the first request is about health, and then about our travels, and then to be an encouragement to pastors. And we're looking for a project with the NTA of helping start a church or rebuild or whatever, and so that's the fourth one, and then just funds. By the way, thank you, Berean Baptist, for your faithfulness and support. There are three P's that I leave with the church. I'll say them now. The first is prayer, so thank you for your prayers and being a part of your missionary outreach. Secondly is participation, and our meetings are not just for pastors, lay folks. Church members, I prefer to call them, are welcome to come and be a part of our meeting. So it's not exclusive by any means, just for pastors and pastors' wives and pastors' families. But we welcome church members to come and observe for yourself and listen and see for yourself what the NTA is about. And then to partnership, we depend solely on the gifts of our affiliates to keep the NTA going, and the home office is our house. It's now up in Wisconsin Rapids. For the first 12 years, it was up at Baldwin, Wisconsin. Now you folks are from Iowa, and I would not know where Boone, Iowa was except for Pastor Harmon, and so he introduced me to Boone, Iowa. Anybody know where Baldwin, Wisconsin is? All right, here's my message this morning. I'm going to introduce you to Baldwin, Wisconsin. No, I'm not. There's more important things in life. Baldwin is located just 20 miles from the Minnesota border on I-94. So the Lord bless us for 34 years of ministry there. But it was time to step down. It was time to retire. And the Lord also opened up for us to be able to move Wisconsin Rapids, where the middle of three daughters live, and some of the grandchildren are still at home there. And so the Lord provided a house, and we're very grateful for that. We enjoy the church the Lord has led us to there in Wisconsin Rapids. And we look forward to the opportunities the Lord gives over the next year. So pick up a prayer card, if you would, of various kinds, and pray for us. We're grateful for that. Psalm 96 this morning, if you would. Psalm 96. It's a psalm of challenge. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of song, but it's a psalm of challenge. And to me, it's the New Testament hidden in the Old Testament. And so I want to share that with you this morning and challenge you as I am challenged. What is really my approach to the Lord? You know, I don't come to be a troublemaker. I don't come to hurt feelings. I don't come to step on toes. But after being in the ministry 50-some years, evaluating my own life, by the way, not just those who sat in the pew and listened to me, but evaluating my own life, I've been asking myself more so lately, am I approaching the Lord as he wants me to approach him? Or do I approach the Lord as I think it's okay? And I think Psalm 96 lays out for us some thoughts and truths that helps us to understand how the Lord wants us to come to him and how he wants us to act as his children. And so I appreciate the prayers that have been offered, but I would ask that we would look to the Lord again in prayer. Father, use your word. We thank you for it. We're grateful for the instruction it gives. We thank you for the teachings. Help us, Lord, to glean from it your will, your purpose, your work to be done. For there's a great work to be done. There's a needy work to be done, and you have called us to it. So, Lord, help us in this area. And we'll thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit and the investment of the Word of God that you'll put into our lives in these minutes. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 96, many believe, is a copy of 1 Chronicles 16, but in a sense, it is. 1 Chronicles 16. And if you glance at verse 23 and you compare verses 23 through 33 with Psalm 96, you will see the comparison. You'll see the similarity. You almost see an exactness. And so what is it about 1 Chronicles 16 that may be the background to Psalm 96? Well, we'll go 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1, and it talks about bringing the Ark of God up to Jerusalem. Remember, David tried it twice. The first time was a failure. It caused the death of Uzziah because he reached out and touched the altar. And to my understanding, no man, not even the high priest, was privileged to touch the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of God. Once it was made, it was in a sense a sacred, hands-off instrument of God. And so we have that account. And so David stopped, he took it over and put it in the house of Obed-Edom, and it was there, and David grieved over it. And I don't know what happened from the first time to the second time, but David got it right, and he brought the priests, he brought the Levites, and they took the staves that were part of that, and they carried it properly. And so they brought it up to Jerusalem. That's verse 1, chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles. And we go down to verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 16. So it says, on that day, David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord in the hands of Asaph and his brethren. So we know that originally, God used David to speak these words. Now, who wrote them? We're not sure. We're not sure who wrote 1 Chronicles. We do know this from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. And I'm grateful that the Lord has put these verses in His Word that we may know how the Scriptures came to us. You may be familiar with them, but 2 Peter 1, verses 20, 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, and we could say the Scriptures, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, and may I suggest to you, wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we know 1 Chronicles was first given by God through the Holy Spirit to a writer that wrote these words, even though it was David that spoke them in a psalm, in a hymn, in a note of thankfulness. Some scholars believe that this psalm was perhaps sung when the temple of the exiles was rebuilt, as Zerubbabel's temple is sometimes referred to. And there's other scholarly thoughts behind this psalm that are interesting, but not pertinent to our thoughts this morning. So we come to Psalm 96, and it reads, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens and the earth." I believe most of you have King James Bible. Would you read with me in unison verse 6? All of us together, verse 6. "Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." Thank you. "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." And so we have here this great psalm of praise, which is in another sense a psalm of thankfulness, but I think it's also a psalm of challenge, a psalm that would have us ask the question, do I praise the Lord as the psalmist does? And I'm using verse 6 as a preposition verse here, as a theme verse. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now, I don't know if as you have read through your scriptures on a yearly reading basis or so, however you do it, but I noted a number of years ago, and I'm not going to go into great detail here, but beginning back at Psalm 84 and verse 11, you have pairs, or I call them duals or twos. We have two of them here that we just read in verse 6, honor and majesty, strength and beauty. They kind of start back there in Psalm 84 and verse 11, where it says that the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Then in Psalm 85 and verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And as I think of this, I think of God is and God is. Strength and beauty. Or God does and He does. And so these psalms from Psalm 84 up to Psalm 96, you have these pairs that to me just leap out and enrich the psalms and encourages us in the character of God and in the work of God. So we want to focus here back on Psalm 96. And that question again, do I praise, do I worship? Do I come before the Lord? Not just Sunday morning. But any time that we are drawn to the Lord, how do I come before Him? And so we know that unto Himself, He is this. Notice again in verse 6, strength, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. So we know unto Himself, He gives honor and majesty. We know unto himself he displays strength and beauty. What does it mean to honor? Honor is the idea of high respect, great esteem, something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride or pleasure, a privilege. It's not uncommon, and I think rightly so, for parents to say, we're honored with our children. Maybe they've had a certain achievement. Maybe they've accomplished something unusual. Perfectly good use of the word for honor. Giving respect, giving esteem, bringing a rightful pride and pleasure. And so this is the idea of honor. The idea of majesty is impressive stateliness, dignity, or beauty. And we use that word, and I read not so long ago where someone says that the Rocky Mountains are majesty. I would say they're grandeur, but they said it was majesty. Very impressive. Coming back again, are we impressed? Are we drawn to the Lord's presence with a uniqueness of who he is and the privilege we have? I was raised in a dysfunctional family. I was not raised in a Christian home, let alone a pastor's home. Raised on a typical Wisconsin farm up in northwest Wisconsin. But a lot of disturbing situations within the family, particularly my mom and dad, had a lot of arguments, a lot of heated discussions. I did hear the name of the Lord, but not respectfully. I have absolutely no honor, no majesty, but I did hear the name of the Lord mentioned. I think the Lord used that to eventually bring me to himself. As a four-year-old, we were taken to Sunday school on the Sunday school bus of a local Baptist church up at Milltown, Wisconsin. And I don't know, my mom and dad were, I would say, somewhere between atheists and agnostics. I'm sure there was a family Bible someplace in the home, because back then, no matter what the home was, there was a family Bible. And I'm sure there was one someplace, but never saw it out. Obviously, no prayer, nothing religiously, but through people that knew my parents and went to First Baptist Church, it was, my parents said, yeah, the boys. I have a brother 2 years older. I have an identical twin brother. And so the three of us began to ride the Sunday school bus. And I did that probably for 10, 11, 12 years. And it was through that process that God gave a burden to my life to know him as personal Savior. And so I'm so grateful that even though he is a God of majesty, even though he is a God of great honor, he still was willing to reach down into a dysfunctional, to a backwards farm boy, timid. And I don't know how many of you have experience with identical twins, but I've heard it's not uncommon. We developed our own language. It was a gibberish. And apart from my own family, nobody really understood us. I'm not even sure we understood one another, but we just enjoyed doing it. It was our language. It was a great hindrance when I started school, because I had to learn proper English. And my gibberish no longer qualified as proper English. And so it was a real struggle. But God reached down, and he touched my life, and he touched my eternity, and he touched my sinful soul. And he invited me to receive his Son as my Savior. And I cannot thank him enough. I don't know where my life would be today if it wasn't for the grace of God that changed it. And so it challenges me. After many years of ministry and more years of being a Christian, do I really honor the Lord? Do I understand the majesty that belongs to him. And that I have a privilege to participate with and to recognize. Now, how? This psalm tells us how we can honor and how we can display majesty to the Lord. First of all, it's worship. Going back to the first verse, three times the word sing is used. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Now, I am not a singer. I appreciate the special music this morning. I am not a singer. I hope God will put me into the heavenly choir someday so I can make up for it, but I am not a singer. But I like Psalm 40. It was a psalm that the Lord impressed upon me early in my Christian life, where it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord, and so worship, not just on a Sunday morning, not just on a Sunday evening, not just on a Wednesday night, but how about on a Friday afternoon when they're stressed with the job? How about when life is going more south than it is being pleasant and enjoyable? What is my attitude of worship with the Lord? Now, I believe God gives us time to sort things out. I believe God gives us time to think through things. But still, what is my attitude with the Lord? My wife was just sharing this morning how an elderly couple, probably in their early 80s, back where we go to church now, 2 weeks ago, lost their home, lost everything in a fire. Now, some of you can relate to that. I can relate to that. They lost absolutely everything. They barely got out themselves, and one little token, I think, had to be close to the door that they could grab, but they lost their clothes. All they had was what they were wearing. All valuable possessions went up in flame or got drowned in water with all the water that was put on. In their 80s, they lost everything. Now, I've not had the opportunity to speak with them because we've been blessed to be able to be out in churches. But as far as I know, they have a sweet attitude. They're not bitter. They're not angry. They have a sweet attitude. There's a will of the Lord here somehow. And maybe they haven't seen it all through yet. Maybe they haven't been able to put it all together yet. But I think of myself, how would I handle if suddenly I was homeless? They were absolutely homeless. I had nothing but the clothes on my back. Had to sleep in them, had to wear them. It's just mind-boggling. So when things aren't going well, how do we honor the Lord? What's our song? And I just want to toss this thought out to you. What music do I listen to when not in church? Or what music do I sing when I'm not in church? When others aren't around me to hear me. Now, I don't think we are bound 100% to Christian music, but I think that ought to be the majority of our music. I think that ought to be our first emphasis with music. And I'm not talking, I'll be honest with you, I'm not talking about some of this modern stuff. I'm not talking about contemporary Christian music. I am not. I struggle with that, even being Christian, let alone being music. Or I should say being music, let alone being Christian. I'm talking about what we sang this morning. And like I say, I'm very careful where I sing and when I sing. But I enjoy the songs I have learned going through my mind. And so what music do I listen to? What music comes out of me when there's no one else except the Lord? hey, I'm still in the presence of the Lord. He's everywhere. He hears everything. He sees everything. He knows what comes out of my lips. He knows what's up here. He knows what's in here. So is there honor? Is there majesty? When it's just the Lord and I think it's a great challenge to us. We move on here. It's new, it says there in that verse 1. It's also, if we notice in verse 2, it's to be blessed. It's to bless his name. It's to show forth his salvation. These are concepts, I think, challenges us. Okay, these are guidelines I can use to know this is how the Lord wants me to approach him. This is how I can honor and bring majesty to him. And then we go on here to verse 4 as we continue with the idea of worship. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. I don't think we struggle with that too much in knowledge. I'm not sure how well we apply it in life. If I was to lose everything, I would want to think, and I don't do much about getting down on my knees because I've had a couple of joint transplants and my lower joints don't work well. Maybe some of you have had that same thing and they just don't bend. Thank God for the original. We have not yet come up with sufficient replacements like the original. They work pretty good, but they're not like the originals. But would I offer to the Lord? Would I still say, Lord, you're great, and you're greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Would that still be an attitude I would have of worship? And then you come down there to verse 7 and 8, and notice, as we have three times to sing in verse 1, we have three times of give in verses 7 and 8. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred to the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. So it's not just a matter to me of actions, but it's also a matter of attitude. Am I willing to give? Give as it says here. Give glory, which the idea is respectful recognition with admiration. Respectful recognition with admiration is glory. And this challenges in worship. But also, we have a second thought here, and that is of witness. We go back up to verse 3. It says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. We are still the light of the world. We are still the salt of the earth. And many are becoming despondent. I'm not. I believe there are still wonderful doors the Lord is opening that we need to be mindful of and aware of yet today. I am not throwing in the towel. I am not going to be discouraged by politics or economics or the latest discovery of science of life in outer space somehow. Some of the fads that are moving across America right now, to me, they're only fads. Give them time. And like so many other fads, some of us remember the 70s. And we thought, what in the world, what is this world coming to? How are we ever going to get through the 70s with the hippies and the yippies and the Woodstock debacle that took place in New York? How are we ever going to recover? We have. God is faithful. And having gone through that, and one of the great impressions that politically laid on my mind was I had been the privilege of living in a day when the voice of Ronald Reagan still rings out. I believe it was Gorbachev, Forgive me if my world history is not very good, but I believe it was Gorbachev that Reagan said, remember when he was in Germany, take this wall down. Who would ever have imagined? But you know what? When you lift an atheistic voice and finger to God, isn't it interesting? He brings you down. I was telling Pastor Harmon, I've read 3 books on the Holocaust. I'm done reading that for a while. That is so dark. That is so sad. But I thought, you know, Hitler never had a chance of winning World War II. Why? He opposed the Jews. You think about it. From the very beginning, he sabotaged himself. He really had the potential to at least rule Europe. He really did. The brilliance of the German scientists were top class. But once he made that decision, he was going to eradicate the Jews. He had already lost the war. Because God will not permit his people to go on to go through such things without those who do it. We are to declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. There is still so much to be done out there. We are to declare his oneness. Secondly, under witness, we are to declare his oneness. Not oneness, his onlyness. So if you're taking notes, scratch off oneness. Onlyness and creation. By the word, that word onlyness is a dictionary word. And verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens and the earth. We need to realize that. Are you thankful? I am. I am thankful that the true God of the heavens and the earth cared enough, loved enough that he sent his son, but also that he drew you, he drew myself to himself. He called my name to the angels of heaven. The God that made the heavens, the only true living God, said, Gary, you come and I'll save you. And I can remember the very place where the conviction of my salvation was laid heavily on my heart. And I went home that evening, and I remember still, 60-some years later, kneeling beside my bed and asking Christ to come into my life. Unsaved home, dysfunctional home. Only went to church 1 hour a week. For the first 11 years, it was Sunday school. And then my family did start to go to church, so it was only Sunday morning. That was it. 1 hour a week. And no support when you got home, only what you got at church. But God still, wonderfully, wonderfully. We also need to declare him as a creator. Notice verses 10 through 12. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 10, say among the heathen, the Lord reigns, the Lord also shall be established. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. He is a creator. All things are because of him. He needs to be honored with that. His majesty is seen throughout his creation in spite of sin. In spite of sin. In spite of the fact that Romans 8 says that the earth groans under the weight of sin, yet there is a marvelous beauty that God still demonstrates, that it might point to him. I am the creator. This just didn't happen. This has been divinely made. And so the creation declares that we are to honor and give him majesty. And then verse 13, we finish up here. It says, before the Lord he cometh. He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. I'm glad he came the first time as a savior to deliver us from our sins. He's coming again. Amen. He's coming again in clouds of the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's coming again. He came as Savior the first time. I'm saying the second time, he's coming to the great shepherd to bring his sheep home, to call his sheep. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up. The great shepherd will call his sheep home to be forever with him. Never more again to roam, never again to die, never again to suffer. And then he's coming a third time as a great sovereign, when he'll come after the 7 years of tribulation and rule with the rod of iron for the 1,000 years, the millennium. And he'll be the great sovereign, the ruler of all the world. All other rulers will be subordinate to him. And then after that, there'll be a short season when the devil is released. And then he'll become the great separator. Revelation chapter 20, dividing the sheep from the goats, the tares from the wheat. And the goats and the tares, he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me into hell's fire. And the sheep and the wheat, he will say, come in to my presence and abide with me forever. So what is our desire? What is our challenge? Are we so taken up with the affairs of this world? Is our mindset so much confused and controlled by the affairs of this world that even when we come on a Sunday morning, our minds have a tendency to drift, to move about, to not be able to stay focused for a half hour, for an hour on the things of the Lord. I don't know where you are. And again, I don't mean to be sarcastic or rude. But I think we owe the Lord at least 1 hour of unhindered attentiveness and try to take that with us and build on that and increase that and to tell the Lord, I have that new song. It's a song of redemption. It's a song of praise. It's a song of rejoicing. And Lord, here I am. I give myself first to you. What do you want to do with me? And in giving myself to you, I give what I have to you. Take it and use it whatever way you want to. Because, Lord, you are the God of honor and majesty. You are strength and beauty in the glories of heaven. And may it be in our lives as well. Thank you, Father. Use your word. Give your truth the empowerment it needs to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.